Thank you.
So I guess that's me, huh?
Not yet. I give you my peace. Now Nova can pray. Thank you.
Gracious, kind, and loving Heavenly Daddy, we come unto you this evening, this afternoon, and we come as a team and we want to give all honor and all glory to you. We are so thankful and so grateful to be called as your own. And we ask that you lead and guide our time together this evening, that it can only serve to honor and glory to you. We love you so much, and we ask that you would please shorten the time, if you would make us all worthy so that you can shorten the time and we can come home, because we long so much to be with you. In all of this, we ask and pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. We love you. We thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. So I took Father's message, but before I read this to you, I wanted to set the energy for the meeting, which I've never done before. So I just wanted to say to everybody, I know in the past that the Father has talked to us about being active and doing things. I've had conversations with guardians recently where they were beating themselves up thinking that they weren't really being active. And that there's certain definitions that define active and things. And that's not exactly the case, okay? Through the conversations I had, someone told me that they kind of stopped off in eternity real quick, and they didn't think that that really mattered. It does. Another guardian said to me, well, I've had a number of conversations with people, and it was on a spiritual level. That's being active. Others have cleaned countries, that's being active. If you're praying for somebody, that's being active. Starlight, she listens to Dateline podcasts where someone's always getting murdered or something's happened to that person. She prays for those people. That's being active. I don't want there to be this stigmatism that Satan beats us up because we feel that we're not being as active as we should be. If you're doing something, then you're being active. Okay? If
Okay.
you're sitting every week and you don't think about Father, you don't think about eternity, you're not praying for somebody, you're not thinking about somebody, you're not helping somebody, then you're really not being active. Okay? Even as children of God, I'm pretty sure we're always praying for somebody. You're being active. Okay? So I met with Father on Wednesday, and this is what he had to say. My dear family, I welcome you and I give you my peace and fill your hearts with joy. I need all of you to remain calm when things start to get stirred up in the world. Perhaps you're wondering why I mention the world every time we have a team fellowship. It is because it needs your attention. Some of you go about your day and you ignore the help that is needed in this world, be it cleaning a country or helping elsewhere. I bring this subject up numerous times because you act like the Israelites in the Old Testament. I say something and there is no action. I repeat myself and still there is no action. I continue to mention it and still no action. Perhaps if you do what I'm asking of you, we could speak on other topics. If you are getting frustrated because I am bringing this subject up once again, perhaps it is because it is a sore spot for you because you are not doing anything. Ask yourself these questions. One, when was the last time you gave a healing? Two, when was the last time you helped eternity? Three, when was the last time you cleaned a country? Four, when was the last time you spent time with us so I could give you instruction as to where I need you to help? Five, when was the last time you served someone? Six, when was the last time you put me first? I do not bring these subjects up in vain. They have a severe reality on what takes place on a soul, be that yours or others. Your interaction hurts others, or your inaction, sorry. Your inaction hurts others. How many times have I asked you to come and see me? I mean, come and listen to me. Do not talk, listen. I have many gifts I would like to share with you, but I am not going to throw them at your feet, hoping that you will pick them up and start using them. I understand how busy life can get. I do see everything. Number seven, when was the last time you asked me for help that you could serve? Number eight, when was the last time you felt joy in serving? Number nine, when was the last time you got excited that you were a guardian? Number 10, when was the last time you did not get mad when something in your life went wrong? Number 11, when was the last time you cried and asked me for peace? If you are feeling overwhelmed, why do you not come and talk to me? Really talk to me. Know that you can come to me and let me hold you. And because you cannot find the right words, I would read your heart and help you. Sometimes and I would sit together and neither of us would say anything, and yet there was a conversation. Does that make sense to you? Please do not feel that there is a scolding. It is not. It is an admonishment for you to open your heart to me. Perhaps you would feel better if you wrote me a letter and burned it. Number 12, when was the last time you wrote a letter and burned it so that you could breathe again? Number 13, when was the last time you got back to the basics? I know that you may feel I am being harsh with you. I am not. I love you, and I need you to help me with this plan of mine. I do not have the time to find others to teach and train. Please, please, please help me. Please feel the love and adoration I hold all of you in. Please. I asked Nova if I could just hijack the meeting for a few moments because I would like to actually discuss all 13 points that Father gave us. And I'd like your input, how it affects you, or if you have a question. The first one was, when's the last time you gave a healing? I took this message on Wednesday, and I'll be honest with you, for 5 days, I've been sitting in these questions. You did not have that opportunity. So if you want to discuss this in greater detail with me, we can do that too. We can also bring up any one of these points in the next meeting next month if you want to. But I thought I would like to just go through them a little bit while we're on this call. So I sat in that question, when was the last time I gave a healing? And I thought about it, and it was actually probably 3 months ago when I gave Starlight a healing. So you think to yourself, well, I can check that box off, right? Well, yeah, mostly, kind of. But there's other opportunities that I could offer people healings, right? And I'm going to do that. Recently, 2 weeks ago, I offered somebody a healing, and I still haven't heard back from them yet. So that means they're not ready, right? Because I'm ready. Am I ready? Maybe I'm not, right? So
interesting.
If you're sitting in that moment and you're thinking to yourself, well, I haven't given anybody a healing, maybe you're not ready. And I thought it was interesting when Father made his 13th point. Did you get back to basics? Let's get back to basics. I think we complicate things as we're going through this process, and we don't have to do that. Does anybody have anything they want to add about giving a healing or share?
I guess the thought for me, I don't want to say the thought, but over time, since we became guardians, there's specific roles that I feel like Atmos has versus, you know, Trisus has versus everybody has a different role. The healing aspect of things for me feels like it's not as strong as it once was, but maybe that's completely inaccurate. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe are we all supposed to have that same level of, you know, here's your quota for healings for the month, or, you know, down where we're at. But that's not happening, because if I look at somebody down here and say, would you like a healing? They'd look at me sideways and probably shoot me.
I've only given one. That was for my training in the very beginning. So no,
those are valid points. And even when I was talking with some of the guardians, I made the point and said, it isn't for everybody to clean countries.
Right.
It's not.
Right.
Trisus probably cleans more countries than anybody. and I clean them too, and a couple of you also step in now and then. But if you're not feeling a prompting from the Holy Spirit to do that, don't beat yourself up. You're not supposed to be doing that. But if you're not feeling any kind of prompting from Him,
that's
why
the problem.
Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. And Father makes the point that He understands how busy our lives are. He can see that. And it struck me when He made the point of, when was the last time you asked me to help you so you could serve?
And
go ahead.
It's funny that the point comes up, because when I'm driving by, when I'm driving to and from work, I drive by the graveyards and I say, hey, Raphael, send teams. Hey, you know, I have my lead, Levi, do this, do that. And then on my way home Friday, I said, Raphael, send teams. I just got a sense. And he looked at me, he goes, sir, this is you, not us. And I was like, oh, okay. So he actually spoke up and was like, ah, I really can't do that.
Good. Good. That's great.
I've been doing that as well as traveling. Now that I'm back on the road, I've been hitting spots in the state that I've never been to before. These cemeteries, like, you know, the middle of nowhere. And I don't even know if a new apostolic's ever been by there, right? And so I kind of do like a pog and an inviting pog, you know? And if anybody wants to give me a healing, I'm all for it. I could use three of them. So,
me too. I could use one.
Mm-hmm. I think all of us could use one.
Probably.
Honestly.
When you give one, you get one. So,
yeah, I know.
That's right. My wife just told me I'm giving her one on our vacation.
No, I'm
getting you one. Fantastic.
I got mine.
We don't need to know what goes on your vacations.
That's our buzzword.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm getting a healing.
Somebody's getting a healing. Okay.
Number two. Never mind. Okay. Next.
Number, let's keep it clean. It's a family show and souls are listening, which leads us into what Blazar talked about. Number two, when was the last time you helped eternity? You got to understand if there's a prompting or not. I don't go every week into eternity. It was this week alone. I went twice. And Jesus took me to the realm of the evil souls. And He looks at me and He goes, we are going to go here. And you are to say nothing. Okay. So we walked in there and we both literally said absolutely nothing. We just stood there. And that's all we needed to do. Mm-hmm. Then He said, I need to take you to go see Chief Katakichin. He wants to talk with you. I went, great. So we popped over to the Native American realm. And I usually shake hands with Chief Katakichin like this. And I said, well, that's not going to work anymore because we're brothers. So I'm going to give you a hug. So I gave him a big bear hug. And he chuckled. And he said, I'm asking you and Jesus to come here because I've been talking with the other chiefs of different tribes. And they're all struggling with the idea of what this faith is. And I thought that if I could bring the two of you here and they could see you, that might change things. And he goes, I do understand that faith comes without seeing anything. He goes, but I just felt in my heart that if the two of you came, that might make a difference for them. So we stood there and there were, I can't even comprehend how many were standing there.
Oh.
And I felt like there wasn't much I should say. So I pointed at Jesus and I went, that's Jesus. He dies for your soul so you can have life. And Jesus went, that's Tryland. He'll protect your soul. And that's all we said.
Oh, really?
He thanked us and we left. But it was a nice experience for me. And then I was sharing this with Q. And then Q had an experience and I asked him to share his.
Yeah, last night I didn't sleep well. Woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and when I was starting to wake up, I thought it was morning. And then when I realized it wasn't, and I was awake, you know how you feel. It's like, oh, just go to sleep. I couldn't, so I came out here and I actually sat right where I'm sitting, and I was awake enough to say to pray and talk to Father, and I realized that our meeting was today and life is busy and all. And I thought, you know, okay, I'm just going to reground again and go into eternity. And before I did that, I walked out and I thought of tomahawk for some reason. Why would I think of a tomahawk? And then I looked it up and just realized I know what a tomahawk is. It didn't give me anything new and different. But so the first thing I did was pray for the Indians. And then I didn't look for Bob or Chief Catechiching. I just prayed for them and I just went. And it was strange to me because I didn't say anything. I felt them. I saw some. But in general, I felt like, well, I didn't really do anything. Until we were with Tryland today, and he said that they were instructed to just stand there and be. And then I realized, okay, that was real. Because it's interesting how we have these experiences and we think, well, that didn't work. What's wrong with me? But it did. And it was so nice that he shared that, because I wouldn't have shared this. And just to realize that we don't have to see and know everything and have all of the details of everybody that was there and all of their names and everything. We just have to be and be an example. So that was really nice. And I appreciated that.
It was just your presence.
Exactly. You just need to show up.
Traveling, I've been going to, I've pretty much gone to 4 reservations throughout the state. And when I cross into tribal land, I just start talking, you know, just like an invitation and bringing forth the gospel, you know, just having, I don't know, I'm talking to myself, but I'm assuming I'm talking to the souls, right?
Mm-hmm.
That I've walked on that ground. You know, I went to the final battle of the Nez Perce, where they captured Chief Joseph. And it was, at first they were winning the battle, and then the army just surrounded them and just faced cannons towards them and just bombarded them. They did like a siege for like 12 hours, just bombing the village. And they had nowhere to go. And a lot of people died. And, you know, you read that and you pray, it's like, it's these poor people that had a horse with bows and arrows and guns are facing, surrounded by cannons, you know, and a bombardment of a village where all these women and children are there. They're not just attacking the warriors, you know. So a lot of sorrow and bloodshed, you know, has transpired on these lands out here. So, or everywhere, I should say.
Thank you. Anybody else on eternity? Sorry, Nova, I hijacked your meeting. Or fellowship.
That's okay. You tell me you were hijacking it anyway.
I appreciate it. Number 3, when was the last time you cleaned a country? We talked about that. If you're not feeling a prompting, then don't worry about that. Number 4, when was the last time you spent time with us so we could give you instruction as to where I need to go? That's something that all of you have to answer yourself. I know that some of you are intimidated by the idea of going and seeing Father, and someone even made the comment they don't feel worthy. It's got nothing to do with that. It's about being obedient to go to Father and just let him do what he wants to do for you. And I even shared with some guardians that a couple of weeks ago, I had a hard time actually seeing anything. So I asked Jesus if he would come and put his hand on my forehead. And he did that for an entire week, every day. And then we would go see Father. And then slowly I started to see again. You got to remember that we can ask for any help we want from anybody at any time. Just ask. Anybody have any questions or comments on that one?
A comment. I just realized that I haven't gone to read my scroll in a few months. And I mean, that's something that it's a couple of years ago now, but we have a scroll of what we will be doing, and I open it up and I can't comprehend anything, but we've been assured that it gets in, and I haven't done that in a while, and I'm glad that the thought comes.
I listened to one of our early recordings in 2013, and it was an admonishment to go do that. I listened to that on Tuesday. And also in that meeting, Father asked all of us to not swear. I know I have been doing a horrible, horrible time with that one. So I'm trying better this week to not swear. And even though I have told him that the F word has a power behind it that he's never used, so he can't understand why we use that word, he still said I can't use that word. Just throwing that out there.
So you have to do what I used to do with my kids when they were little, is I was trying to teach them how to not swear, but kind of have the same impact. And so we'd say, we used to make up words in the car, flipping flying flugelbinder, holy Shiite Muslims.
That's good.
That's any better. But okay, good point. Five. When was the last time you served someone? Like I said, you're praying for somebody, you're thinking about somebody, you felt a prompting to call somebody, somebody needed to just talk, a complete stranger had a conversation with you. Ultraviolet, maybe you could share your experience. I'm going to throw you under the bus. In the grocery store?
I must have a very welcoming aura because people will randomly talk to me and follow me around for a little bit and keep talking to me. So I'm just, I treat everyone with kindness, and I figure there's a reason for it, and I go for it, and it's been interesting.
That's serving. Making ourselves available to somebody, and even though you might think it's weird that they're talking to you, there's something on a subconscious level that their soul needs, and they'll get that from you because you are Father. Please don't forget that.
Thank you.
Stop thinking that we're human, only human, and we're just making this stuff up. We're not that inventive. Okay. Number six, when was the last time you put me first? I sat in that one for a moment. And I felt guilty, right? As we would. And then I kind of thought, like, I'm going to think more about Father, more of eternity. Because just going and seeing him in the morning, I mean, I have an alarm on my clock that I set that at 7 a.m. I'm meditating. I go and I spend 5 minutes, if that. And then through the day, you know, we get those promptings and thoughts, especially with 9/11 being this week. There was those promptings to think also. That's serving too. It doesn't mean that you and I need to swoop into somebody's life and be this grand savior of some kind. That's why I'm trying to redefine what being active is. It's doing something, right? If we could do something every day, then we're serving and we're making Father happy. Anybody have anything on that? And yes, I'm drinking a Strongbow. Cheers.
In small groups on Wednesday, this past Wednesday, we did talk about the spending time with Father as far as, you know, it used to be two services on Sunday and then Wednesday night service. And then there was, meetings and youth things. And we just seemed to spend more time, not just with Father, but doing his work and being part of everything. And now it's like everybody complains if service goes a little over 1 hour, you know, a Sunday. And so we kind of were talking a little bit about that and how, you know, it's nice when we can actually think of him and do more things for him because he's always there for us.
Right.
So it's funny that you brought that up because we talked about that already in small groups. So
we talked about that this afternoon as well.
Nice.
HF, always eavesdropping.
Yep.
The district apostle put out this for you recently. on the Sun Splashes, and we talked about suicide and mental health since September's suicide convention and mental health month. And he said something that really struck me was provide dignity to a soul, you know, just by sitting there and listening. And I think as servants, that's definitely that something that we must do is provide a soul that dignity to say, I'm listening to your pain and your struggle, you know, not just going, I won't pray for you, you know, it's taking the time to go down and touch that soul and spend time with that person to find out exactly what is going on, what is really bothering you, you know, showing that respect and that dignity to that person. I thought that was pretty enlightening that the district boss has sent out.
Yeah, I listened to that too. It's a very good point. Thank you.
And even to add to that, that's empathy. When you are listening to someone and showing that dignity, that's a beautiful way to think about it, that you open yourself up. And I have a little bit better understanding of really what that means, because I had a conversation with my college roommate, and I was sitting right out there on the deck, and now I get emotional about it, because he called six people to help him with something, and nobody helped him. And he called me, and he said, I couldn't think of anybody else, but he said, I thought of you anyway. And he ran over their brand new puppy. And it was a dog that they got because they had to put the other one down. And he said that his wife, he had never seen her break down so much and so terribly that it just killed him. It was so difficult for obviously both of them. And, you know, I think everybody on here understands, you know, being an animal lover and all. And he said that he called his sister and just explained it and said it to her. And she said, yeah, I have nothing. Sorry, Matt, I have nothing.
Wow.
And so then we had a really good talk, and I just listened and let him talk. And he said, you know, why would God allow it? I mean, we just lost one, and we just got a new one just to replace it, and this happens. And I let him just kind of talk, because the more he talked, the more he kind of understood, even before I said it. And I said that God didn't do that. He allows that to with everyone. He didn't do that to you. You didn't do anything wrong that he did that to you. But in going through that, he opened up in you his love, because just think about the love that you have right now for that little puppy. And every animal that you have, and the ones you've lost, and your loved ones, and all, just think of that love. I mean, that's huge, and that's who God is. God is love. And then when you think about the empathy that you have now, if someone comes to you and says, I just lost my dog, I just lost a friend, you have it. And God needs you to understand and have that kind of empathy. And it was beautiful. I mean, my college roommate graduated with Diane, Matt Foster, I'm talking about. Yeah. And we get out the phone. He says, I love you.
Aww.
How many of those other six people could he have said that to? I mean, a sister, sure. But anyone else? That love, that you say that because that's when God is present. That's why he felt that love. I golfed with him on Saturday, and as we were leaving, he gave me a hug. He said, I love you. I said, I love you. He didn't say it to Tim Shaver, you know? Anyway, I'm looking at Diane. I'm sorry. But you know what I mean? That is beauty. I mean, that you can't get better than that.
Nice.
That's serving. That's being active.
I have to say it's nice to know that that's all part of serving, because when you have people that come up to you and ask you to pray for them or to think of them during the situation, or you are prompted in service that there's someone there that needs to be prayed for, or, you know, even there are times it's like, I know I have to give that person a hug, you know, and as I'm doing it, I'm like, Father, you know, heal them in your name if that's what this is, because, you know, it's like there, so there are always seems to be promptings. And I guess it's just, we need to listen to them and, you know, yes. And do it.
We so. Said those exact words this afternoon, didn't we? See, there you go. I mean, how beautiful.
Well, it's fair.
It's kind of like yesterday, last week in service, right? The text was about how Elijah goes to Mount Sinai, stands on the mountain where the same mountain that Moses got the Ten Commandments. God comes and he does a storm and the wind and the rocks break. And then he does a fire, right? And this mighty fire occurs. And then it's an earthquake, a fire, and the wind. And God wasn't in the fire, nor was he in the wind, nor was he in that. He was in the small, still voice. Yep. And in that small, still voice, you can do a great impact. You kind of like think, well, I got to do this. I'm a guardian. I got to do something
big.
Episode like MGM, God, you know, Ten Commandments kind of thing. You know, it's just, you know, we get put in positions where we are able to serve. And, you know, for today, we had an incident occur. We had the apostle. And there was a sister that bought her baby, and there was a misunderstanding that they thought the baby was going to get sealed, and it didn't happen. And so I asked my rector, I said, did you talk to this person, this sister? She said, no, I didn't talk to anybody. So I'm running around the church looking for her, and I found her in the corner crying, and I knelt before her, and I told her, I said, look, we had a miscommunication. And I know that you want your baby sealed. And I told her, I said, it happened to Sandy and I. Same thing happened to right after Ariana was born. And they wouldn't seal Ariana. And you know, we were all sad and brokenhearted and all this kind of stuff. And so I spoke to her, you know, and I gave her my handkerchief, and I sat with her in her intro distress. And, you know, I made sure, like, listen, don't let this be a stumbling block for you, you know? And as soon as service was over, I ran over to the apostle before he started saying hello to everybody. And I said, I need your help right now. I said, I need you to be a fireman. And I kind of explained to him what was going on. He ran to the back. Found her and spoke to her, you know, and smoothed things out, you know. And the apostle, you know, said, I'm at fault. I am sorry for what happened. He goes, I want you to know that you are special and that you're not a second class citizen, you know, because this was a member from the reservation, and they brought, there was 15 guests that watched this baby sealed. And I thought, oh man, I have to jump in the fire, you know. And thankfully, the apostle jumped in the fire with me and smoothed things out. And, you know, when something goes awry, you have to be a fireman and go in there, regardless of how bad the situation is, you know, and not hope that God will provide. You have to stand for the Lord.
Yes.
Thank you.
Number 7, when was the last time you asked me for help so that you could serve? Kim?
I did today.
Excellent.
And I stole the meeting. I'm sorry?
And I stole the meeting.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to get back to you shortly.
That's okay. This is actually great because this is my first meeting to hold. So if you steal it, that's really okay with me.
Oh, no, there's always next month. I'll just call on you again.
But no, I was actually telling Jerry earlier to this afternoon that, you know, I'm in charge of worship for my congregation, and I knew that this weekend was going to be a really busy weekend for me with work. And so I started preparing for worship far earlier than I normally do, but I don't have access to the divine service guide. I have no idea what the service is going to be about, other than I know the text word, and church gives us the theme, if you will, for the service. And so I prayed really, really hard, and I asked him, and I said, Lord, I just need your wisdom. I need your strength. I need your voice, and I need you to tell me what you want me to say.
Perfect.
And it was absolutely amazing today because it wasn't me, it was him, but the worship was all about the act of taking Holy Communion. And why do we need to be present and take in his body and his blood? And it was so interesting because after I finished worship, and, you know, I was always told worship is not meant to be an extension of the service. It's just worship. It doesn't have to flow with the service. But the apostles started serving, and it was almost like it all just went hand in hand and everything fit together so perfectly. And I told Jerry, I said, I just sat there going, like, mind blown. How did you do all of that? And I just couldn't help but say, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Cause I was so nervous and so worried, and you gave me your wisdom. You gave me your word, and I asked for it, and he gave it.
Nice.
Kudos to you for asking.
Mm-hmm. Number eight.
Yeah. Number eight. When was the last time you felt joy in serving? It's a pretty amazing feeling, isn't it? When we actually do something for somebody else. Mm-hmm. We reap the benefit of helping somebody else, you know? And we know it's not us, and we don't always have to say that. It's him. It's always him. We always give him credit. But he's also going to share a little bit of that with us because we're the person that's helping with it. If you caught the end of his message, I'm asking you to help me finish my plan, right? So he's not going to do it by himself. And it's not because he's incapable, right? But he wants to share his glory with us, but he's not just going to hand us glory. We got to fight for it. We got to work for it. Anybody got any questions or points on feeling joy when you serve or not? Feeling joy?
I have something. I've been helping somebody for a couple of years, and it does feel good to help them. But the next time I text, it's very frustrating. You had asked who, you know, when was the last time he asked me for help? I'm asking him for help all the time. The situation with this person is almost impossible. I'm at a loss. I even said that to the person. I said, I'm at a loss. I'm begging Father for an answer. I don't know. So if you saw me, my head was down because I was texting them that I'm going to call them at 8:15 because, you know, they don't know what to do. And I don't know what to do. So I'm hoping during the phone call, the Holy Spirit's going to smite me with something, you know, but there is a joy, but it's almost in this situation, a dread. Because it only lasts for a couple days, maybe a couple hours. And it's a weird dual-edged sword, because as much joy as there is, there's also that, oh, now when is the next time? And will I be able to feel joy then too? So yes, there's joy, but it's, I've never felt that fear, I guess is the best way to describe it, of not being sufficient enough. And this person has got great faith. Let me tell you, the crap they're going through is what we're going through. And they're not a guardian. They're new. They're young. I mean, it's just, it's astounding. And they don't make excuses. It's like, we're going to get through this. Just, I need counsel. Well, I can do that. So, you know, they're not asking me to solve the problem, but it's interesting that yes, right after the phone call or after the text, there's like, phew, yay, I helped them. So there is that joy. And don't get me wrong, I enjoy helping. But the next time I see their little icon pop up or their little sound, it's like, how now? You know, and I go, now what? Now what? And it, tell me, come on. But Father gave me a definitive answer. And he said it this morning and he reiterated it to me. I do not dare repeat. But I'll share with you. It's not personal, but he said, until they change their behavior and stop allowing spirits in, Satan will continue to plague them mercilessly. Don't tell them that.
Wow.
Oh, that's a horrible thing to be obedient with.
Wow. I mean, so mm-hmm. I was, and again, I was just for the meeting, I had a quick cigar and he said it again. He said it just like that. Very adamant, but don't tell him that.
But can you ask him questions?
Can I ask who? Father?
Or no. Whoever you're helping.
Who you're helping.
Oh yeah. I've implied strongly that you know, without being disobedient to Father. Yeah, they know.
Well, I'm not even saying that. I mean, just saying, so why do you think this is happening?
Oh, I get what you're saying.
So yeah, just asking them.
Lead them to the answer.
I get it. Okay. So basically counsel. Okay.
The thing about it, you know, what you're dealing with right now is different, I think, than from the joy that we get by helping someone in passing.
Yeah. Oh, I get what you're saying.
Right now, no, and I'm not saying you're absolutely right, but right now you're a parent.
Ah.
You know what I mean? It's like you're a parent, you're a minister, you're a priest. You are a servant helping souls navigate through this time, and their eyes need to be opened. You know, it's kind of interesting when you think about it. The Father said, don't tell them. Yeah, because, you know, what happens when you tell someone, go do this? Well, I don't want to do that. But if they come to the decision, you know what, maybe we should do this.
I'm not a parent, so you're giving me insight that I never. Thank you. I didn't realize that. Yeah, I guess I'm being a parent.
Okay, Dad.
Yeah. It's funny you said that. I just realized that I'm old enough to be. A couple of the aides that help me at night are older than the younger group, and I realized I'm still old enough to be their dad. So their dads are in their 60s. I'm like, come on. and most of the staff, I could be their grandfather.
Oh boy.
Well, yeah. So yeah, and the person I'm dealing with is younger. So yeah, I get what you're saying, Dan. That's
and so right. If you think about it, so Father said don't tell them, because then you give someone the answer. No, that's not it. I'm just gonna keep whatever. Okay. They have to come to that themselves, but pray. And ask for guidance that you help them to see their behaviors.
Okay. Okay.
And don't tell them.
Yeah.
You saw what he did to the people in the Old Testament when they didn't listen.
Yeah, I don't want the angry eyebrows to come out.
Yeah.
Number 9, when was the last time you got excited that you were a guardian? I thought back, I've been doing this for 20 years, and I thought back how complicated my life was 20 years ago, 15, 10, and now. And my life is nothing like it was back then.
What's new in your life?
You, honey. we even talked about it. I said, I'm not killing demons. I'm not getting phone calls at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not having, different experiences that shook me to the core of my faith that I shared with other people and shook them to their core and got them excited. But I'm so excited to be a guardian. I think it's nice when out of the blue, someone goes, "Hey, I'm having a problem. Can you help?" Yeah, I can do that with a thought. I can do that with a thought. You guys can do this with a thought.
Yeah.
You answer that question yourself. When was the last time you were excited? You were a guardian. The what?
The bobblehead shop. I got to go to the bobblehead
shop. What about those who doubt themselves?
Don't look at me like that.
I know the only reason I say that is because I know that Danielle's felt she hasn't felt like she's been, how do I explain this?
I have no idea.
She doesn't feel like she's a full-blown guardian, so she feels like she can't do the things that everybody else does because she hasn't been equipped to do those things. So when things come up that I know she can handle, she doesn't have the
confidence.
She doesn't have the confidence to say, yeah, I can handle that. She can't say, well, I can just think it and make that happen. She can, right? But she doesn't know that she has that power. She doesn't have the confidence to know that she has that power. And I hate to single you out, but I know you're probably not the only one that feels that way.
Danielle.
I can handle it.
Danielle.
Yeah.
I am so your sister.
See? I mean, I do things and I'm learning. Like there's times and it's nice that when there is something that comes up and I ask him like, "Hey, I have a feeling, but I've already tried and I can't find anything, or can you do this or whatever?" He'll be like, "Yeah." But then afterwards he'll be like, "You know, have you done that? Or can you do that?" And I'm like, "I have never done that before. I have never, you know," so then he'll kind of walk me through it sometimes, or sometimes he'll look at me and be like, "No, go ahead. Like you go ahead." And I'm just like, "Well, how?" and he'll just be like, "Ground yourself and stand," you know, and he'll tell me kind of the process to do it. But I mean, I'm definitely getting better. And especially the more time that I spend with Jesus and legions of angels and the different realms that we go into, I have been able to grow and learn with that, because that's where I learned how to kill demons. That's where I learned how to do different things. I'm not doing it here on earth. I'm not doing it. I mean, I've taken away are they the souls that sometimes we have found in the house, or that like have been like in the attic and stuff like that? Remember that
one? Yeah, there's been some souls. And
so I've taken those away, or like out of the boys' subconscious. There's been like dark shadows that I've removed, but like in the realms is where I've put on my full armor and taken down demons. And perfect. Like that's, you know,
that's the thing is you don't have to get the bag of magic beans anymore. Like it's not what we thought it once was, right?
Well, yeah.
It's not. There's no book that I can hand you that would cover everything that happens. And Father builds your confidence by having you do something. He trusts you, and that's why he brings it to you. And then your confidence comes by doing it. And the problem is you think too much. You're letting your brain get involved.
Look who you're talking to.
I know who I'm talking to. You just need to do it. Trust the Holy Spirit will guide you through things. I mean, all of us have had experiences where we've been standing in front of a situation that we have no idea what to do. And then we do. Right. If you wait long enough, it comes. Right. And it's the weirdest thing. And it's so him.
Well, and I think I don't want to say it's different for me, but I think sometimes I still think I'm back 20 years ago when this first started and you were in my mom's living room and you were the one that we would be like, "Jim, Suppy, we need help with this. We need," you know what I mean? Like, I still look at it being back freaking 20 years ago when we started all of this and it all went down. And
all I had to do was drink scotch.
Yeah, right. And like, we hung out till 4 a.m. and talked. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
would fall asleep
in the
chair.
And we heard the word soon, and sooner than soon.
So sometimes I look back and I'm like, okay, in bigger situations, this is what I did back then because I wasn't a guardian. I didn't have my husband. I didn't have the things that I have now. And like you said, how we were 20 years ago is not anywhere near what and who we are today.
But it's a learning process, and you can't be that hard on yourself. Okay. And thank you, Atmos, for counseling her, because it's wise for you to talk to him. And if you have a problem, you two can't figure it out, then contact one of us, and one of us will help too, right? You're not in this alone.
Yes.
But you need to actually do the work.
Right.
That's all I can say. And I'm proud of you guys for doing that.
Good for you.
Hey, if I could just interject something here, because, you know, when we think about, I think we are all pretty humble and we say, I'm happy to be a guardian. I don't think anybody say, I'm happy to be a guardian, but we are happy to be servants. We're happy to help. We're happy to help. And so if you think of it that way, then it becomes a little bit easier because, you know, I think Cindy's in kind of the same boat with Danielle, and, you know, I'm not done being trained now and I don't know what to do. And the thing is, as you said, it takes time and it's a training process. But whenever we do something, who's really doing it?
Right.
Right.
Father. That's it. He gave us that and it's in us, but we aren't out there doing anything without him. And so if you think of it that way, when we go with our gut and we're connected, we're not going to do it wrong. And so we're serving.
Yeah, he's not going to set us up for failure. Right. And so all of us have different traits and different talents. My talents are completely different from everybody else's. Right. And so like when I run into a situation and I have no idea what to do, I start texting and going, you know, I reach out to certain ones on the team and go, this is the mess that I'm in. I know this sounds crazy and I don't understand where I'm at.
That word doesn't this fit the situation.
Right. You know, like, I reach out for help, you know, and you know, the intent is to serve, right? The intent is to love and to be a servant of God. The Lord will provide.
Yes,
you're
will.
Doing it in His name. So.
Number 10, when was the last time you did not get mad when something in your life went wrong? I couldn't be positive on that one, but I sat in that and went, yeah, I guess so. I need to work on that.
They're doing it.
They're putting grass inside the air conditioner. Sorry.
That's fun to do, though. Come on. I've done it. It
blows up in the air.
Yeah.
Why not? We all did it as kids.
I thought you took your shoe off, man. You were yelling at him. I'm like, oh, dear Lord, help me.
Could have been winging it.
Yeah.
Number 11, when was the last time you cried and asked me for peace? That's something you got to ask yourself. He's opening himself up to you and me. We just need to go and do it. 12, when was the last time you wrote a letter and burned it so you could? You know, sometimes I completely forget about that. And I kind of beat around the bush and I kind of hope for things to change, but I don't write a letter and burn it. And I thought that's a good point. And number 13, when was the last time you got back to basics? Well, that's exactly what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. We're getting back to basics. And I'm thankful that I have you guys. And I'm thankful that you stuck with me through all of this. I know it's not easy. I know that our lives are complicated. And then this aspect of our life complicates it even more. But the fact of the matter is that Father picked you. And when he made the statement, I do not have the time to pick other people to train them. For me, that was a very humbling statement because that means he has that much trust in you and confidence in you that there isn't anybody else that can do what we're doing. We're it. There's no getting out of this. You're stuck. Sorry. You gave your word.
No B team.
You're bounded. She said there's no B team. There is no B team. We're not like the Navy SEALs where there's all these different numbers and letters. We're it. We're A through Z. This is welcome to the team.
Can I give a little idea? You said in, I think it was point 12 of, have you ever taken a letter and burned it? One of my best friends is a reuse recycle artist, and something that she does that I've kind of adopted is she takes old books and old books that she's not reading, she's not using anymore, and she paints them, and then she writes on a page her thoughts, her feelings, her letters to whomever, and then she paints over it. And she does each page that way. So she knows what's on that page. She knows what she wrote. And she knows what she felt, but nobody else has to see it. So just kind of an idea.
Nice. Okay, well, I hijacked your entire meeting.
You did.
But it was needed.
Yes, I agree.
Well, sort of.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Sort of in closing, I wanted to share something, and actually it works pretty well with everything that we've been talking about. Okay. I got a book recently, probably a few weeks ago, and it's called, let's see, Am I Frozen?
Yes.
Yeah, we hear you.
Well, this is not good. You're supposed
like
to
this. See what I...
We weren't going to hold it against you.
Oh, that super stinks because then you can't see the book. Hold on.
There you are.
Yay.
Can you see me now?
Yes.
Okay, so I got this book. It's called Praying the Scriptures for Your Adult Children. They have another version of this book that's called Praying the Scriptures for Your Children. So those of you who have young kids, I've actually bought this book for each of our young families in our congregation. But there was something that I was reading, and when I read it, instantly I thought of our team. So I just wanted to share that with everybody today. Things like fear and worry will work to paralyze or cripple us. Things like deception and discouragement will try to worm their way in, telling us we are not up to the job or the problem that we face is too big. But don't give ground. Don't cede that territory. Instead, map out your own battle strategy. Depend on God's all-sufficient grace and put on your God-given armor, the belt of truth to stabilize you in the face of lies and deception, the breastplate of righteousness so that your behavior lines up with your identity in Christ, shoes that will anchor you in God's peace and allow you to move forward as you fight, the shield of faith to inspire you to action, the helmet of salvation to cover your mind and guard your identity in Christ, and take up your sword, which is the word of God, and be ready to use it.
Wow.
I liked it.
Very nice.
So, does anybody have anything else they want to share tonight?
There are no birthdays for September or October. Mm-hmm. Our next meeting will be October 13th. Back to you.
Well, I'm going to be a really awesome wife and ask my husband to close.
Yeah. Nice.
Love you. Bueller?
Uh-oh. We're not hearing him.
Here we go.
There he is.
Hello?
There you go. Yep.
There he is.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
That works.
Okay. Loving Father, me, thankful and humbled by the admonition that you gave us. We do not take offense because we want to learn.
We want to be your disciples, Heavenly Father, that we may serve out of the fullness of our guardianship, that we may heal, bring comfort, bring peace, bring joy into the so many souls in this world that are suffering. Heavenly Father, give us the strength, give us the valor, the courage to step up and be what we have been created to be, a guardian, a servant of God. Heavenly Father, watch over us. Grant us wisdom, grant us understanding, grant us empathy, and help us to be able to discern the spirits that we face each and every day. Help us to be overcomers and understanding and preachers of the gospel of Christ. Father of love, watch over each and every one. Comfort them, uplift them, strengthen them. Let them know that you are with them, that they are not alone. We rejoice in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We rejoice in the forgiveness of sins and the sacrament of communion that you share with us. Heavenly Father, let us be joyful, carry on in our life of faith. And regardless what circumstances that surround this world, that we may be the shining beacons to bring souls to Christ and complete this work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shiny.